Welcome to God in the Ordinary, a podcast to help you reveal God to others during your everyday. Special guests share their stories with songwriter and author Sharon Tedford.
My guest this week lives an extraordinary life in very ordinary ways, sharing the truth and joy of the gospel as she goes. She is committed to bringing life to all she comes into contact with, wherever they may be. My guest, teacher and fashionista, Brittany Bonifons. Brittany, it's really great to have you with us. Thank you for joining us. Please tell us where you're from and what you do with your days.
I'm so excited to be here. I am from, or I live in New Orleans, Louisiana. I was born and raised in Texas, but I moved out here with my parents because they're in oil. And I've been living in New Orleans and across the state of Louisiana ever since. But I've been in New Orleans for about, 10 years at this point in time. I am a teacher by day. I am also a track coach, and I have three children, two boys who are 11 and 10, a girl that's 8, and a husband. He's not a child, of course, but my husband is here with me as well, so that's why I'm here.
Great, thank you. And what do you teach? What grade do you teach? I mean, what do you teach children, obviously, but what grade do you teach?
I am a high school teacher. I teach 9th grade Algebra 1, and I teach juniors and seniors a dual enrollment college algebra class. But I've taught all the maths in high school over the years. So from about 7th grade to about 12th grade, I've taught all of those maths.
You deserve a championship medal for doing that. Thank you. How long have you been doing it, Brittany?
This is my 11th year, or it might be my 12th year. I think I'm on my 12th year, so 11 and a half years.
That is a lot of experience. I'm really excited to share how you reveal God in your classroom and what you do through your day. So as you know, all of our guests share their reflection on Isaiah 61. And I know that you have one prepared for us. Would you like to read that for us, please?
Yes, of course. I'd love to share that. Find joy. Remember your why. If your dream is not bigger than you, it's too small. The Lord will fight for you. You need only be still. Courage does not always roar. Sometimes courage is the still small voice that says, I will try again tomorrow. As a teacher, I am aware that I am creating a church inside of my classroom, inside of a public school, where I cannot actually talk about God. I can only be Christ so that my students and coworkers can see Christ. I cannot address the very real spiritual warfare happening around me. I speak peace into situations and over situations. I find reasons to laugh and to love and encourage others to do the same. Some days the battles are worse than others. Often I go home and ask God if He is sure this is what He wants me to do. I am worn out and overwhelmed. The situation seems hopeless. My head hurts and my heart hurts. It is in these moments God brings to my mind these quotes. He brings to my mind the same life I speak over my learners. He speaks the memory verses I memorized in my youth over me. He feeds me the words I fed myself, never knowing how desperately I would need them years later. Isaiah 61 is a beautifully worded version of my why. It is the joy that I find knowing that God is using my voice and my presence to transform spaces, to transform people. He smiles as he reiterates through Isaiah 61 that with him, my best is enough. He can move mountains with my obedience. I do not have to know all the answers. I do not have to have unlimited energy nor strength. I simply need to show up. He will show out from there. Isaiah 61 reminds me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made for such a time as this. It renews my hope that victory is on the other side. He is using me to change the world. One broken heart, one tear, one ray of light at a time.
Thank Thanks for sharing that reflection, Brittany. That's really helpful. Really interesting perspective there. So I want you to explain a little bit and expand a bit more on what you mean by saying you're creating a church in your classroom. Isn't a church somewhere that we go? So how can we go to church if we're in a classroom?
That is so funny. I remember when I was a little bit younger, and one of the pastors that I had when I was, I don't know, maybe my 20s, had said something about the church is not a building. The church is wherever you are living a sermon of who Christ is. And at that time, of course, I was in church and I was really involved with all of the things that were happening in church. And it's like, yeah, church is not a building. Haha, got it. It's wherever I am. I was not a teacher at that time. And so it's funny to have seen it kind of come full circle. I'm very much a person that God brings to your memory the things that he has told you before when you need them. And when I started teaching and the more years that I've taught, I have realized that the way that I live, the life that I live, the types of conversations that I have with kids and the types of relationships that you form with kids, like helping them out, keeping them out of trouble, like changing their mindsets. A lot of teaching is teaching kids how to act. I was talking to my coworker about that. I was like, everything is taught. And so often there are these things that we just expect for these teenagers to know because they're tiny adults and they don't know it yet. You are teaching them the correct way to not just approach math problems, but to approach life. And so for me, inside of my classroom, I show them that in here, love is very real. In here, peace is very real. In here, joy is very real. And that is the fruit of the Spirit. And those kids, every day when they come to my classroom, they get the fruit of the Spirit. And so they are coming to my classroom, receiving the things that God has given me. I am pouring into them without actually saying, let's talk about the fruit of the Spirit today.
I really like that perspective. That's something that we can all do no matter where we go. So how do you set up your day to allow you to minister to your students? Because I know that teaching is not an easy job. So how do you go in battle ready?
So I do read my devotional almost every day. I try to do my self-reflection early, get up, just me and God and my coffee. I pray literally over my classroom every day, especially when the day before was tough, because kids are tough sometimes. And you're like, I don't know, God, this is a lot. And they are a lot. And yesterday was a lot. And so I'm going to need a lot of help today. And then it's just, I don't internalize anything. And I assume that that is God's way of like kind of prepping me, battle prepping me, is I don't take a lot of what the kids tell me personally, or not tell me, because they don't tell me a lot. I don't take a lot of their actions personally when they're angry or sad or frustrated. Like every day is a clean slate for every kid, because I also need a clean slate every day. I need a clean slate. You need a clean slate. We all need a clean slate. So I'm coming in, I'm praying, I'm saying, God, what is it that you need me to do today with these children? I know I have to teach them math, but what lessons do you have for them? What do you need me to say to them? What do you need them to hear or see me do? I don't know. It's truly, let's pray over this. This is my safe space and your safe space. We're going to learn. We're going to love. We're going to laugh.
That's powerful. Tell us, what do you do when you pray over your classroom? Presumably you do that with the door shut, because as you've already said, it's not a place where you can freely express your faith in Jesus. What do you do as you pray?
I actually don't physically like get on my knees. I know like some people will go and they'll like lay hands. I just don't. I sit down in my chair behind my computer and I'm like, all right, God, this is your space. This is what you have asked me to do. I need for you to help me reach the kids you want me to reach with whatever you need me to do with them or for them. And I do the same thing in the morning from my house. Hey, we're waking up, God. This is what we're doing today. You have me here for a reason. Please make sure that I am fulfilling whatever you need me to do when I walk into that space this morning.
Thanks for saying that. There's lots of different ways to pray. You don't have to be on your knees. And like you say, some people I know will go around and touch each chair and pray for each child. But equally, it's just as powerful to sit at your desk and invite God into the day and say, I recognize you, God. You're here. This is your day. I love that. So what's your favorite way to reveal God to the kids in your class? You said in your reflection that you speak life. So what does that look like in a practical way for your kids?
One of the most famous verses, I guess, is I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Good old Philippians 4:13, which I love as much as the next person. But the ninth graders that I teach have historically struggled with school. Like right now, as far as state test scores in the United States, those kids were failing coming into me. Like they did not pass their eighth grade math class. And here we are in a ninth grade classroom because I passed enough of my other classes that I'm now here with you. And they are not used to success. And so when I'm speaking life, it is, I can do hard things. I can do math. Like one of my friends sent me a box for Valentine's Day, and you're supposed to write one thing you love about yourself every day from February 1st to February 14th. And I was like, oh, this would be an amazing thing to do with my students. And so every day we get a little sticky note and they are writing something that they love about themselves. And it was interesting to find that the students who are performing kind of the worst are the students who also couldn't find things that they love about themselves. And so we're going to sit here and figure out things that you are a lovable person. And these are things that I love about you. And you can do the math. You have gifts. You have areas in your life that you are shining. And we need others to see these areas where you are shining. It's just reprogramming how they see themselves and that they know that there are things about them that are worthy of other people seeing. Like they are great human beings, great people, and that no matter what, whether you perform terribly on these tests or wonderfully on these tests, I love you. That's the end of the statement. It has nothing to do with how you perform in this class. And I think that that type of unconditional, whether you do well, whether you do poorly, and just constantly reiterating that with them and constantly reiterating their worth with them and constantly talking about, hey, we can do this. We can work our way through this. Just allows them to see that, oh my gosh, I may be able to do this. I can do hard things.
I wish I'd had you as a maths teacher, Brittany. I was rubbish at maths, and I can totally understand that feeling of I'm rubbish because I can't do maths. So thank you for doing that. As a maths struggler myself, thank you for being that teacher. Do you ever have the opportunity to interact with parents? I'm sure you do, but how do you approach that as a Christian? Because that's also something a bit different.
Yes and no. So we do have parent-teacher conferences. I see the parents more as a coach. Like I see a lot of the moms and dads in the track coaching profession. And most of the time when they see me, I'm running around like a crazy lady talking about, oh my gosh, you had an amazing day. And I'm high-fiving and I'm running across the field yelling at them that they're going to be great and they're doing great things. But as far as inside of the actual classrooms, like the parents of the children that I do the math with, occasionally I'll have conversations. Like some of the students have special needs in that they have ADHD or they have dyslexia. Some of them, not all of them. And so we have to have parent meetings about making sure that they get all of the special accommodations inside of our classroom. But most of the conversations that I have outside of track, I don't have a lot of conversations with parents because for those kids, their parents are always called kind of about their bad behaviors. At one point in time, I kind of want to pick back up this practice. I would pick a kid or a student who was doing well, let's pretend, and like you were a superstar of the week. And that was fun for me because these students who don't typically have parents that get good news about their behaviors are getting this good news. So that was fun. And I think I've been wanting to do it. It's on my list of things to do to pick back up. But outside of track where they think that I'm this crazy, wild lady who has all this energy and is screaming for her children, I don't get to talk to the parents a lot, unfortunately.
It sounds like you are one of those track coaches who will be unforgettable. Everybody, whether they ran track or not, they're going to know Coach Bonifons. So tell us what it is that drives you to love in that out loud way.
I don't know. It's just always kind of been who I am. And maybe it's like what I would want. how I would want someone to treat me, you know, the whole do unto others as you would have, like the energy that you give is the energy that you receive. And so a lot of times people are like, oh my gosh, this person is completely different around you. I've never seen this side of this person. And I'm like, I don't know any other side of this person. And I think that maybe for me, that's what I need or needed as a child, and that it's like, here it is, full circle. If I was a child who had a teacher, I would want this type of teacher for my child, and I decide to be that type of teacher. I would want this type of coach for my child. So the very thing that I would want for myself or my children is who I try to be for these students, because not every student fully knows how to express what they need. And so I'm like, regardless of whether you ever tell me that this is what you need, I'm going to try to provide it, because I want them to leave knowing that if no one else cares, I care.
That's such a good perspective. And sharing who we are is all that God is asking us to do, sharing what he's already put inside of us. It's that simple. Now, I'm going to embarrass you a little bit, Brittany, because rather excitingly, you were recently awarded Louisiana Overall Teacher of the Year. So brilliant. Congratulations to you. I love that. Where is God in all that, Brittany? How are you able to share God's truth and give glory to him through such a huge honor?
Oh my gosh, the whole journey was just, I don't even know how to kind of explain it. Almost like a Cinderella story. Like I was this teacher in our classroom, and then all of a sudden I was winning awards. And then all of a sudden I kept going through round after round, and they're like, oh, she won. I like that in all of that, it was funny because it was kind of this social media thing. And that's not why I won. I won because I was a teacher and a coach. But on my social media, I remember God very clearly and distinctly telling me to talk about my journey, no matter what that was. And this had nothing to do with teaching, because I never really talked about teaching on my social media, because I needed a very clear line after the day was over. And I didn't want social media to be this venting for this tough day that I had had with the students, because at the end of a tough day, you feel like you've been at war all day. And so a lot of times I would just document whatever, my outfit of the day. I would document what activity I'm doing with my kids at home. I would document my thought for the day, whatever God brought to my mind. He was like, just start talking. And so when I was going through the rounds of this teacher of the year, I would just talk about, hey, oh my gosh, I made it, y'all. I'm a semifinalist. And I remember as a kid, being a track kid, I wanted to be a state champion, and it was taken from me in a very devastating way. And that came to my mind going through these rounds for Teacher of the Year. God was like, remember when you said you wanted to be a state champion? And I would talk about that on my stories. I was like, oh my gosh, God, what if I win? And I remember the first day God asked me to pray. I turned in the application just like because you're supposed to turn in the application. And God is like, you've been disappointed a lot. So how about you ask me to win? And I remember the first time, like even now I'm tearing up, because when he said it, it was like I had never thought to ask him to win. And when I'm talking about this on my stories, he's like, all right, publish it before you change your mind. And so it brought God into the process for people, because people are looking at my conversations with God about this process. And I actually think that God had me to put my social media onto the application. Like, well, this isn't about teaching, but hey, here's my life. And so it brought in all of these people to this God part of my life that I'm not allowed to talk about at school, but I can do whatever I want on my social media. And so my students get to see this part of my life. And these people who are coming to see the state teacher get to see this part of my life. And so it's like, you can't talk about it there, but you can talk about it here. So I'm going to bring the people that you affected there here so that they can hear more about what he is doing, what God is doing, what I am doing, all the things. They can see God outside of it because I brought them to this. I always think of my platform as that song, like, enlarge your territory. And God was like, I got a territory for you. I got a platform, and I'm going to bring these people over here from this area that's not allowed to be about me to this area that can fully be about me.
You're listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, Brittany Bonifons. It's interesting that you just said you had a Cinderella story, because if people were to go to your social media, they're going to find out that, as you've just said, you are not just a teacher, but you are actually, I think, a real life Cinderella, because you wear tulle to school, don't you, Brittany?
I absolutely wear tulle to school.
So tell us about how tulle, this is a sentence I've never said before, how does tulle help you share the gospel?
So I have always been a girly girl, always, my whole life. Like, I remember some of my first memories of like kids kind of being mean and making fun and I didn't understand was a girl who thought she was insulting me by being like, why does your mom make you wear a dress to school every day? And I'm like, I picked out this dress. Like, this is school attire. And that wasn't tulle at the time, but it was just dresses. And I would wear my dresses to school and I thought dresses were fun. And so kind of in my adult life, I want to say Pinterest had like a girl with a tulle skirt, and I thought that that was the most amazing look I had ever seen in my life, and was like, oh, I'm going to recreate this look. So I kind of made a tulle skirt because they weren't like sold as widespread as they kind of are now. And so I bought this tulle skirt, and then I would see this flowy stuff and I would buy that. And then, as the whole teacher of the year thing progressed, it was like, oh, I wore this tulle skirt to the first time I received the award. And then I wore a tulle skirt to the second time that I received the award. And then I'm like, okay, so apparently tulle is a thing. And then I began wearing it at work for no reason. And we started like this Tutu Tuesdays thing. And I just really like tulle. I like tutus. I like tulle. I like sequins and glitter and all the things. And again, it's one of those things that people react to you based on how they see you. And it brought life to other people around me as well. Like, people come to my classroom to see what I'm wearing on any particular day. I was on a Zoom call yesterday and we were talking about some kind of conference that we have coming up. And the guy stops the call and he's like, Brittany, please stand up and show us your whole outfit. It was like a floral shirt with all these tulle flowers, like tulle top to bottom floral shirt and some wide leg jeans and some sparkly tennis shoes. And it's fun for me. And it's funny that what has been fun for me has become fun for other people. They literally stop to see what I'm wearing or be like, hey, can you take your jacket off? I need to fully see this outfit. And it's just a fun way to enjoy. It's like one of those things that I can control. I can control what I have on. There's not a lot. I can't control my kids. I can't control my students. I can't control my husband. I can't control how this day is going to go. But what I can control is putting on this outfit and feeling amazing.
It sounds like a lot of what you do comes from a place of joy and that you're seeking joy. You said that at the very beginning. You're choosing it. You're looking for it in actually a job that's very difficult and a job that often does not have joy, but you're bringing joy there. That is so helpful for us all to remember. So you've said that your students come and look and peek through the door to see what you're wearing. Do they expect you to be a bit extraordinary?
Yes. They are waiting for it. Like, I came to school and I had on like some leggings. They were a little flare at the end. I thought the flare was cute, and like a oversized t-shirt and a jean jacket. And we're halfway through class. You know, we're learning math. We're laughing. We're singing. We're dancing. And the student just stops and he's like, Miss B, what do you have on? I was like, what do I have on? You know, you look down. Now you're like, oh my gosh, what do I have on? No, I'm matching. Like, I don't know. What do you mean? What do I have on? He was like, you're looking kind of plain today. And another student's like, I'm glad you said it. We expect tulle. We expect sequins. Where are your sleeves? Like, if you're going to wear those pants, we need some sleeves. And it's funny because high school students are always very blunt. There's like, there's nothing wrong with what you have on. I don't need you to hear us say that. You look fine. But when we come to your classroom, we have a certain expectation and you're just looking like a regular teacher today. And we just have no expectations that you will ever look like a regular teacher.
I love that. You're never going to be a regular teacher for them or to them. And they're going to remember, they're going to go to your social media and they're going to see Jesus. That is such a brilliant connection. Thank you for sharing that with us. I am feeling a little inspired to go and buy some tulle. Hopefully Gary, my co-producer, is not feeling the same feels. So Brittany, if you had a couple of words of advice for any teachers listening about how they can share the gospel naturally, what would they be?
I always think just to kind of be yourself. Pray about how God really wants to use you. I was up one night tossing and turning, and a certain student came to mind because I'd had an encounter with him the day before, and he's just kind of one of my tougher students. And so I'm up and I'm praying for this student. And I go into the next day like, all right, I'm fully prepared for, you know, my encounters with this student based on what happened yesterday. And because of that prayer, like God literally woke me up to pray about this student. And when I wake up the next day, like bright and early in the morning, like before, like the bell has just rung to start the day. And it's an encounter with another student having nothing to do with me. Like, this student is not a tough student. But my prayer the night before for this other student set me up for something I needed to do with this student, a different student. And so as a teacher and a Christian teacher, we need to know that that is our ministry. Like, it is not a separate ministry. I think that people, going back to what I said before, think that ministry is confined to the walls of a church. I'm the children's minister or the music minister or the pastor or whatever the case may be. And teaching is as much a ministry as any of those things, not to lessen those things, but just know that that is your ministry. That is what God called you to do. And so when we are going into the classroom, we need to prepare every single day, every single moment, like that pray, what is it, ceaselessly? Yeah, that is my prayer. Like, I need to know every moment, how do you want me to approach this situation? So that at the end of this situation, it is clear that you were here.
Thank you for saying that. I'm cheering over here. And to say that we are not separate from ministry. We are ministry. Whatever we do, we are all the missionary. God has called us into this. You know, you were talking recently about being chosen. Can you talk to us about that? What does it mean to be chosen?
So sometimes when God asks me to speak, you start speaking and then God starts talking. And I know exactly which one you're talking about. For me, chosen, you know, I know the verse, you have been chosen, you're a peculiar people. I don't want to say all the things wrong. But anyways, we always talk about being chosen in the church and that Christ chose us. And with this specific thing, I didn't fully understand like how exciting being chosen was until the students like pick a teacher to wear their jersey. Like, you wear it to the game and you walk around and you're proud. Like, you're one of like, I don't know, 12 teachers walking around with a jersey, and other teachers are like, oh yeah, she got picked. She was chosen. And I even think of like a field day when you're like picking teams. You're like so excited it to be the first one to be picked. And so to me, being chosen, like, it's so huge. I remember talking to a kid, we're breaking up a fight. I don't break up fights. I tend to kind of stay away from fights. But God is like, I need you to go over there because when you speak, they will stop. And as soon as I was like, hey guys, stop, they stopped. And it was like, you're speaking. You have the power that I have put in you because I picked you to do this. And it's exciting because you recognize that you are going to be able to do amazing things, like the Cinderella story with Louisiana Teacher of the Year. It's like, you're Teacher of the Year because I chose you. And it's excited to be chosen to what God has for you because you know that He is going to show up and show out in ways that you never could have imagined otherwise.
If you hear nothing else today, I want you all to remember that God says, I picked you to do this. Whatever your this is, God picked you. And I want to read that scripture, Brittany, while you were talking, I looked it up. It's 1 Peter 2:9. It says this in the New King James Version. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. So we are all chosen as His people to do that. Thank you for sharing that. Brittany, I know people are chomping at the bit wanting to know. I want to go and follow her on social media. Where can we find you?
So it's kind of long. So the name of my social media is Ordinarily Extraordinary Mom. And I have actually considered lots of times changing it because it's such a mouthful. And then one day I was talking to someone and they were like, oh my gosh, why would you change that? Your social media handle, Ordinarily Extraordinary Mom, is the personification of who you are. It's a bit much, and so are you, and we love it.
I didn't think you're a bit much. I think you're amazing. I want to say before we go, Brittany, that on behalf of me and all mums listening and all people who hate maths, thank you for doing what you do. Seriously, what you do is so important. If you're a teacher listening today, thank you too for being a minister in the classroom, for bringing church into your school and for sharing Jesus. What you do is so important. So, Brittany, thank you. We've really enjoyed having you here today. Thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me, and thank you for your kind words, and thank you for that verse. I was like, oh yes, that verse is even better now that she has said it. It's amazing.
You've been listening to God in the Ordinary with me, Sharon Tedford, and my guest, teacher, fashionista, and mum, Brittany Bonifons. She's a great follow on social media at Ordinarily Extraordinary Mom. That's M-O-M for our non-American listeners.
For our show notes, go to 61-things.com. This podcast is a Wise Word Radio 61 Things co-production. We pray that you're encouraged to reveal God in your everyday.